Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Cowboys coming to town on Sunday. We're going to go behind enemy lines, talk with Mike Fisher, who covers the Cowboys, is a Cowboy insider and has been for many years, coming up later in the show. Also, we will get a chance to talk to Barbara Dooley coming up about Georgia, Florida. And in 20 minutes, David Waters is going to stop by, creator and host of Gator Breakdown. We'll find out why the Gators are playing better and why they may give the Dogs a scare. Look, I don't expect the Dogs to lose this game unless it goes seriously wrong. Mike, turnovers, block kicks, right, blah, blah, blah. But I don't expect that to happen, and that doesn't mean the Gators won't play better. Listen, when the season started, we were thinking, hey, Billy Napier might be gone by this game.
Right.
He has survived.
I think you and I know I certainly said I thought he'd be gone by Halloween, and we'll find out, has he done enough? Because, as you know, they got the toughest schedule in the country to win over. Of course, right now the flavor of the month is the Indiana coach, so we'll see if Florida fans, many that I met down in Tampa, I told you yesterday, were like, we got to get that guy. So we'll see.
What about Dan Reeves to the Hall of Fame?
Just saw it from our buddy Miles Garrett at Fox 5.
Fox 5.
And he said that Dan Reeves has been named a semifinalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. This is one of my, you know what, five or six things that I go off on.
Okay.
This is one of them. Dan Reeves should have been in the Hall of Fame 10 years ago. Dan Reeves is one of the great NFL coaches of all time. He's top 10 in wins. He comes in number 9. He's got 50 more wins than Marv Levy, who's in. Both coaches lost 4 Super Bowls. Now, granted, Levy took 4 in a row, and at the end, they all got, you know, with the exception of one, got really smoked in all of them.
Do you get credit for going, though? You get credit for getting a team there?
And the fact that he did it with two different teams. You know, two other things. Dan Reeves, you know, gets the Falcons here in 97. I know I used to work with Bo Bach, and Bo at the time was like, oh, it's one of these guys, semi-retired, he goes 7-9 his first year. They went on a bit of a win streak at the end of the 97 season. All that momentum carries forward. Jamal Anderson and Chandler and having belief in him, the bomb squad, bringing in the key veterans, because Dan was the de facto general manager. You know, he had a GM that kind of did the contract work for him, but Dan was the old school kind of Paul Brown guy that did it all. And granted, he came in Elway, eventually stopped laughing at the same jokes and the Broncos moved him out. But to me, and just on a personal level, anybody out there who's listening, who's been, you know, a Falcon fan, you may have ran into Dan Reeves over the years. He's one of the nicest, most stand-up guys you will ever meet. And I just think it's a travesty that he didn't get to go in while he was alive. Because same thing happened with Stabler. I know, you know the Hall of Fames drive me crazy. But anyway, let's hope that Dan Reeves goes in into his family that still lives here in Atlanta. We're pulling for you.
I agree. And, you know, the numbers speak for themselves. I think his accomplishments,
he
should be in.
You know, I guess it's all about being the head coach, being the guy, you know, running the shots. I just told you, he was kind of a GM. Yeah, granted, he had some pet projects that didn't work out, like Tommy Maddox, but he also was the guy that said, hey, we're going to go get Mike Vick. And he did.
Yeah.
And they said, we got to go do this. We got to make the trade for Mike Vick. And having the Nuggets to do that. But he was also a great assistant coach with Tom Landry.
He was.
He was one of the youngest head coaches at the time. I think Shula was 33. And I know that Lane Kiffin was young when he was with the Raiders. I think Dan Reeves was 37 when he became head coach of the Broncos.
Yeah, I'm with you on this. It's almost somewhat surprising. Every now and then you'll see a name pop up and you go, he's not in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
That's one of those names. And for what he did here for Atlanta – and throughout his career, Mike, I totally agree.
Cool.
Hopefully he gets in.
Right.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour is brought to you by our friends at All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Yeah, and you know what? You talk about this while we're talking about it. Sometimes guys get stigmas.
Right.
And that sticks. And sometimes it's accurate, but sometimes it's not. And right. I think Dan Reeves is one of those guys. Like, yeah, he's good, but, you know, he gets there and he doesn't win. Marv Levy, you brought him up.
Yeah.
The stigma. Guys, do you guys know how hard it is to get to these damn Super Bowls?
Right.
Like, you take it for granted. How many have you been to? Oh, I've been to six. And you're like, oh, that's not a big deal. That's a huge deal.
But my argument is when you set precedents, you got to see it through. Bud Grant never won a Super Bowl with the Vikings. No, he lost three as head coach, or four. Four Super Bowl losses, same as Reeves. He got in. He's in. Bud Grant already made it in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know what it was. Maybe the New York media when he was with the Giants, you know, for that cup of coffee. But either way, he's a solid guy. His resume is rock solid. He's got more wins than Parcells. He's got more wins than some of the bigger names out there. And I just, again, and he's just an Atlanta guy that I know a lot of folks, it sucks because just when things get cooking with Mike Vick, the next year Mike breaks his leg in the preseason. And, you know, we could have probably would have been the odds on to have the game, you know, back-to-back winning seasons with the Falcons in 02 and 03.
I totally agree. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to an NFL Blitz. If there ever was a must win, it's tonight. Thursday night football. Now, look, most of you, if you got kids, you're going to do the Halloween thing and you'll be consumed with other things. But the Texans do play at the Jets tonight. And, Mike, the Jets are in need of a win. Desperately, like, praying to the football gods. And, you know, listen, their quarterback earlier this week said he's been to a dark place.
Literally and figuratively.
Jets are a 2.5-point favorite.
What?
How?
How, Sway?
How?
Yeah, I mean, that makes no sense. There's some serious – well, who's banged up? Stephon Diggs is out, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. This Texans team is still better. But here's the deal. You know what they're saying? There's no way the Jets are going to lose. How many in a row now, Chris? It would be what, four, five? In a row.
A 2-6 team at home is a favorite over a 6-2 team.
Makes no sense.
With a younger athletic quarterback, with a ball-hawking defense, right?
Yeah.
I just
– Adams going to score 8 touchdowns tonight?
Well, maybe Vegas – well, two things. No disrespect to Houston. It's a huge city. It's a top 5 city.
Four.
So it's not like, you know, you should not have Vegas interest because, you know, the big-name brand cities generate the interest. But the Jets, I mean, come on. Is everyone in Vegas think that this is when Davante Adams breaks out and has 3 touchdowns, to your point?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think that looks weird. But then when you start talking about the NFL – I kind of agree with this. I don't think the Jets cover the 3, but I kind of feel like they might find a way to win this game, and it's probably closer than we think. Meanwhile, what is going on in Indianapolis? Shane Steichen talking about Flacco's going to be the quarterback, but they're not giving up on Anthony Richardson. Listen to this.
Joe will be our quarterback going forward. Tough decision, but one I felt was in the best interest of our football team. Feel that Joe gives us the best chance to win right now. With that being said, not giving up on Anthony by any means. Really not. He's a young player with a ton of talent, you know, and he'll use this time to continue to develop and grow as a professional.
Teaching moment, or just basically, look, you're getting benched because that's a sucker move, and you're a young man's got to realize you're a professional, and professionals don't tap out when you're at the most unless you get an injury. To say you're gassed, and look, I respect him being honest about it, but you didn't help your cause. Maybe keep that in-house. You got to earn the respect of those veterans on that squad, and right now they're thinking you're candy blank.
All right, so let's hear
I've been in the darkness.
Let's hear from Anthony
about you,
Richardson.
Aaron.
Because, Mike, there's something that does concern me.
Right.
Well, number one, he says, I can't bring myself out of the game. And then we're going to let you hear him say basically that his coach did not explain to him why he was benched. Now, that I have an issue with.
Well, then explain it.
Okay, but Anthony Richardson,
right?
Why you take yourself out of the game? What's the deal, bro?
Regarding that play, I know I can't do that as a leader, you know, especially as a quarterback of this team, and especially just as a football player in general. You know, I can't necessarily just bring myself out of the game like that, especially in key moments like that. But, you know, you live and you learn. You just got to, you know, grow from it.
Yeah, I just...
So the coach didn't say that to him, and this is why you're being benched? This you got to learn, man.
In regard to that play, I can't do that. Okay, that's a given. I need a breather. Give me a break.
Yeah, I've been in the darkness.
Here is Anthony Richardson, though, saying Shane Steichen, Mike, didn't explain the benching to him.
He just told me that they were going to go with Joe, you know, and that was that. And, you know, I just had to just take the information and just, you know, just grow.
Did he explain why?
No, not necessarily.
Unless he felt it was self-explanatory, as most of the reporters in that room know it is.
Yeah.
But I guess still, in this day and age.
You got to lay that out, though.
I mean.
You got to lay that out. I'm sorry. Like, here's the deal. Y'all are coming off the air. We're not just going to walk out and leave.
Right.
Why? Like, again, what happened?
But I mean, again, unless he's that colossally immature to realize you can't do that, and now the team is being sent a message, and now you've been sent a message. So, but I'm with you. I mean, maybe Steichen needs to explain it and spell it out to the young man.
Maybe. That's interesting stuff. It's our NFL Blitz. It's brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Let's hear from Dave Canales, speaking of changing quarterbacks, because he's going to go back to Bryce Young.
excited for Bryce to have an opportunity to build off some of the things that he did last week. Certainly things to work on, but a lot of good stuff that he did too. So Bryce will be starting this week. We'll collect all the information over the week with Andy, with Bryce, how he plays this week, and then we'll make another decision next week.
So the Saints are at the Panthers. Panthers are 1-7. They're terrible. But Mike, who's the quarterback for the Saints? This is Dennis Allen talking about, is it going to be Carr? Is it Rattler? What's the deal?
Felt like Rattler, you know, gave us the best chance at the time. We'll see where we're at come this weekend, what the expectation is. My expectation is that Derek's going to be ready to go. In that case, Jake will be the backup this week. So we don't want to get into the specifics of, you know, the reasons why, but we feel like that's the best thing for our team.
So wait a minute. Rattler was the starter. Jake Haener is going to be the backup if Carr is ready to go. But if Carr is not ready to go, Haener's going to start in front of Rattler. Mike, the Saints are a mess right now.
Yeah, I don't quite understand. And you talk to our friends out in New Orleans. They want this guy gone, like, even last year. Even beating us, walking out of the Superdome, actually, still wanted this guy fired. But, maybe it's at the time where they pivot. I mean, you don't tank in the NFL, but still, you need to reset that thing. And if you think Rattler can be the guy, or Carr, though, here's the ceiling with Carr. Arm this low, right? And maybe that's it. They know where they're at with Carr, and if he's not 100%, the floor is the ceiling, to paraphrase Michael Jordan.
The floor is the ceiling. Saints a 7-point favorite in that game, and they should be. Hey, let's hear from Jerry Jones. We've talked a lot about the Cowboys, and we'll continue as they come to town on Sunday. I feel like, again, I want to win all these games, but they're in a much more need-to-win situation than we are, especially in our division, Mike. We've kind of handled our business there, but these NFC games have come back to bite you. He was asked about paying everybody. Dak,
right?
CeeDee Lamb, he's going to have to pay Micah. Mm-hmm. This is how he described these contracts.
I basically was well aware of our commitment to Lamb and well aware of our commitment to Dak. They were really the principal reason you saw that all-in thing so much. I wanted to make that commitment with Dak. I've always looked at the dollars we spend in football and on the roster. I've always looked at them as scholarships. When you give a lot of scholarships to any one player in terms of your cap, in terms of the dollars, then that's about much less you've got to give to another player.
Shock. Really, Jerry? So it's like a pie chart? And, you know, this much goes to your wide receiver and your quarterback. Wow. Thanks for just wasting 25 seconds of our time. I mean, keep him away from the microphone, man. Just stop it. And we told you earlier that Micah Parsons, at least today, did not practice. And McCarthy says from what he was saying, it doesn't sound like he's going to go.
How has he held on to his job to this point? We go behind the scenes. We'll talk with David Waters, creator and host of Gators Breakdown, as the Dogs get ready to take on the Gators Saturday. And we'll find out the latest with Billy Napier and those Gators on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's talk about these Florida Gators as we get ready for the Dogs and Gators cocktail party this weekend. David Waters is creator and host of Gators Breakdown and does a terrific job of covering that team. And David, thanks for joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We talked about this schedule. It's daunting, right? I mean, they've already played a ranked Miami team who some are saying are going to win the ACC. Texas A&M is undefeated in the SEC right now. They lost to A&M. They lost at number 8 then Kentucky on October 12th. And now here come the Dogs. But the thing that Mike and I have been talking about is it seems as though this Florida team is playing better. Tell us why and what's going on with this team.
Yeah, it certainly seems like they're playing better. They had that first bye week, and the players and coaches kind of come together and try to figure out, especially on the defensive side of the ball, you know, what was going wrong. Now, with that schedule, you know, they've played the last few opponents were run-heavy teams. You know, your UCF, your Kentucky, your Tennessee, all teams known for really running the ball. But, hey, look, that's where Florida really, really struggled on defense. In stopping the run, and have done really well in that department the last few weeks. So, you know, certainly shored up that. It really starts with the defense. The defense has played much better than we saw against Miami, than we saw against Texas A&M. But it's been one-dimensional offenses. So, you know, we've got the schedule coming up when you're going against, you know, Georgia, who's, you know, kind of surprisingly throwing the ball a lot more than they are running it. Texas is a pretty balanced offense. LSU will throw it all over the yard. So it's a different type of offenses that now Florida will face, even though they fixed this defense. So now it's like, All right, well, we know you fixed one part of the defense. What about the rest of it? And now Florida's going to get some really good tests against some really good quarterbacks, the SEC's best quarterbacks coming up. But, of course, you know, on the offensive side, Graham Mertz going down, DJ Lagway taking over, and it's really about the explosiveness of the offense. DJ Lagway pushing the ball down the field for all the good Graham Mertz did. And he was probably a much better quarterback than we thought coming in when he transferred from Wisconsin, but not really pushing the ball down the field. A lot of safe throws, a lot of drives that would take a lot of time. And, you know, that's not really a consistent part of an offense to try and go score 30, 40 points when you got to go 8-9 plays a drive. So DJ Lagway has come in, and Florida's got a lot of 4 or 5-play drives now. So that's been the biggest differences. Of course, that quarterback and then shoring up that defense.
And Lagway, you're just talking about it, Dave. I mean, 58, 27, 37, 85 yards. You're talking about the ultimate explosive play. I can hear Kirby saying, we got to stop the explosive play, be elite on defense. So how is his development progression? Do you think that Georgia can throw some things at him that he ate? Because he's so raw that he will struggle with on Saturday?
Oh, for sure. I mean, for all the excitement DJ Lagway has, you know, brought the Florida offense, this is a different test. You're going against the best defensive mind in football right now. And that's on the surface, a true freshman quarterback going against Kirby Smart after a bye week, you know, that doesn't spell a whole lot of success. But, you know, we'll see just how special DJ Lagway is. You know, I don't think this game will have any bearing on how good he can be in the future, but it is asking a lot, you know, especially after coming off of a bye week where Georgia can really dive in and maybe take away a lot of the things that he likes to do and make him live in that short to intermediate range more so than that deep ball down the field. So don't get me wrong. Lagway's going to, if there's just the slightest bit of a lane, a throwing lane to go to get the ball down the field, he's going to take it. He's not afraid to take it, but you just know Kirby Smart's going to have something they haven't seen, disguise some coverages, disguise some blitzes to really confuse DJ Lagway. So not a lot of experience so far, even though he's played on and off until he's gotten the start when Graham Mertz went down. This is a whole new test on Saturday.
All right, David Waters joining us. Listen, the Gators are 4-3. They've won 3 of the last 4 games. I thought they outplayed Tennessee. I mean, they lost the game, but I thought they outplayed them, you know, on the road 2 weeks ago. So, to your point, a lot of things are going in the right direction. What about Scott Strickland making the decision to stay the course? A lot of people wanted them to cut the check. It was $30 million to say bye, Billy Napier, but yet Strickland has said, nah, we're going to stay the course.
Yeah, you know, I think the last thing the Florida administration wants to do is really play that buyout. The money's there from all reports and people I've talked to, but they're going to give Billy Napier every chance to get himself out of that. And, you know, I think the rivalry games are going to hold a lot of weight. The Georgia game, of course, LSU coming into the Swamp in a couple weeks, and then FSU to end the year. You know, one of the worst FSU teams we've seen in quite some time. So that's one you've got to pencil in and say, all right, there's one rivalry win right there, and that's going to help your cause. But LSU is a rivalry game. Georgia's a rivalry game. I think those are going to weigh heavy on the final decision. But they're giving Billy Napier, a lot of people would have not really been surprised, even after the first game against Miami, if Florida maybe had made a move, and especially after the Texas A&M game if Florida had made a move. But they, as I've said, the administration really doesn't want to pay the buyout. Will they if they have to? Sure. But they're going to give Billy Napier every opportunity to work himself out of this. You know, you got 2 games coming up. I mentioned the LSU game, but you have Ole Miss as well. So you got some home games to bury yourself out of this. But looking at it, you look at Billy Napier's tenure so far. He's only got 3 wins in his tenure of Florida with teams that finish over 500.
Whoa.
And that's pretty much the rest of the schedule besides FSU. So
that's
you see
good.
What's in front of him. But look, he dug the hole earlier in the year by not beating Miami, by not beating Texas A&M. He's going to have him dig himself out against some pretty good teams.
You know, the way the impression was at Florida, and again, you're closer to it, was that Mullen just kind of lost his fastball in recruiting, really didn't like recruiting, and that's why he got. And then Napier, he needs that transformative quarterback. I know there was, Rashad is on the Georgia roster now. That thing blew up in Florida's face, lost a quarterback to Ole Miss. Is Lagway going to be that guy? Can he get those elite athletes down there, I guess, is the question.
That's the thing. You look at recruiting right now, or if you're a Florida fan, you probably don't want to look at it right now because it's not really all that good. And look, you can't blame. You know, there's a lot of hot seat talk. And look, the record doesn't really speak glowingly about Billy Napier, the coach either. So it's probably going to take some massive turnaround to end this season to that maybe get recruiting. Look, it's probably already too far gone to be an overall class where it needs to be. But at the same time, there's potential. You have seen the potential. I mean, Trevor Etienne's on Georgia's roster right now. A really good find for Billy Napier. And the running backs have never really been a problem there at Florida. You've seen DJ Lagway. You've seen the young receivers as well. You can point to, you know, potential. The linebackers last year with Miles Graham and Aaron Childs, you know, the 2 5-star linebackers. So you've seen the potential, but I think it's overall Florida's record that's been too damning for Billy Napier to really overcome and get recruiting and the roster where it needs to be. So it's hard to measure what these next 5 games are going to mean as far as recruiting goes and Billy Napier getting the roster. But, hey, look, everybody, sometimes the saying goes you're just a quarterback away. And Florida really feels like they have that quarterback in place. So that might weigh into the decision. You know, if it's a close 50-50 decision or to keep Billy Napier or not – for Billy Napier, DJ Lagway might be that tiebreaker that gets him another year.
Yeah, Lagway's from Texas. He was the number one recruit in the country a year ago. You got to build on that if you're Florida. Mm. What's it going to take, in your opinion, for Florida to beat the Dogs? David Waters joining us, creator and host of Gator Breakdown.
Well, of course, it's going to take a lot. You know, when it's all said and done, I do have Georgia winning this game. But, you know, for it to happen, I think you got to play on defensive side of the ball, keep Carson Beck uncomfortable. You know, we've seen him play so up and down this year, and he's liable to give you a couple of chances with some interceptions. So if Florida can, you know, and the secret to that, to keep him back like that, is not let this Georgia run game get going. We know it's not living up to its potential, but are getting healthier along the offensive line with Tate Ratledge coming back. But, you know, if the Georgia run game doesn't get going and you make Carson Beck beat you, I think that's Florida's plan on defense. And see if Carson Beck will help you out like he has in a couple games this year, and then for that Florida offense, take advantage of those turnovers. I don't think Florida's going to drive up and down the field many times on this Georgia defense, but if Carson Beck's going to give you those interceptions, Florida's going to have to get some points off a turnover. I think when it's all said and done, when you look at this game like this, Florida's going to need some help from Georgia to pull off the upset.
Still good in the trenches? I mean, that's always kind of been the hallmark, no matter who the coach is, always has some dudes going to the NFL. Do they have guys going to the NFL in the trenches on this roster?
Cam Jackson, defensive side, defensive tackle, he's playing, I think, pretty well lately. But not your traditional Florida on the trenches. Offensive side of the ball, maybe Austin Barber at left tackle and Jake Slaughter at center. They're pretty strong at those spots, so... Yeah, Florida's offensive line has played better lately, so I think it's a really good matchup to see how far they have come along against a good Georgia defensive front.
Yeah, I'll say this. Mark Stoops, who, by the way, earlier in the year, Kentucky pushed Georgia around, said Florida pushed them around. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to your point, like, it may be coming together at the right time. Last thing for me, Florida-Georgia games moving to Atlanta, and then, of course, Raymond James Stadium, and then back to Jacksonville in 2028. What are Florida fans saying about this? I mean, obviously, there's nothing we can do. It's construction. But do they like the idea of this game being a home-and-home?
They do. I think when that news came out yesterday, and plus, you know, talking about it through the years anyway, I think some parts of both fan bases are just ready to experience a home-and-home, and maybe not even a permanent move home-and-home, but to experience at least one time. And this was a perfect opportunity to do so with the Jags Stadium being renovated. So, look, we all know Billy Napier even said it yesterday when I asked him about it. Look, it's money that makes the world go round, and that's why it's a neutral site game for those 2 years as well. But I think the fan bases were looking for this to say, okay, maybe this is our chance to go to Athens. Maybe this is our chance to go to Gainesville, and we're missing an opportunity for that.
All right, brother. Yeah, man, we appreciate you stopping by. David, enjoy the game. We'll see what happens. And, yeah, I think it's a tough task for Florida just based on what we know about the Dogs and how well they played against Texas. And if they repeat that, then it's going to be a long afternoon. But we shall see. It is a rivalry game. Thank you again for stopping by, man.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff from David Waters talking about the Gators. Dogs should handle business. And with the week off, Mike, they should be well-rested. They should be healthier. We'll talk with Barbara Dooley about that coming up at 4 o'clock. Also, it is Halloween. Happy Halloween. We'll have a fun game winner tonight as we'll bring that back and have some fun. Mike and I were talking about scary moments and Halloween costumes. You just showed me something I couldn't stop laughing about. Where was that, by the way?
Yeah, it was my buddy Big Ray posted it. I'm not sure where the website is that have it, but it's the scariest image right now.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How New York is, it's a sign of the Yankees with the arrow in the five. In other words, top of the fifth.
It's great. It's so funny.
It's a kid wearing a t-shirt. He's got a Yankee pinstripe with a t-shirt underneath. He's got the arrow and five. So it's amazing how quickly those things get made.
It's funny, man. All right, we got to get to Yeah Man, No Man. Turtle, what's going on today? I know you're doing all the things back there. Appreciate you. What's happening, man?
Yeah, very happy Halloween to everybody out there. And I just put up a poll at Dukes and Bell 929. Make sure you go and vote. It's simple. What was the first horror movie that scared you growing up? Now, you can only put four choices. Mm-hmm. So I put three of what I thought would be popular responses. And then the fourth, I put other, and in parentheses, comment below.
All right.
I put this post up not even 5 minutes ago, and the results are pouring in. These are your options. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Just watched it.
The Exorcist.
We literally just watched it because my daughter hadn't seen the classic.
Remember when the tongue comes out of the phone? Oh. He's still talking about, I'm your boyfriend now. Blah, blah, blah.
It's so corny now. When you watch it compared to what we're used to visually. Right. But it's still so good. Okay. Just watch it. Go ahead.
It's the idea of it, though, right?
It is.
Because we all have scary dreams. So it's the idea that somebody could come in there. The Exorcist, duh. Probably the greatest
horror
movie
of all time. Why are you doing this to me, Damien?
I put a little bit of a wild card in there because this is one of my favorites. The Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
I actually thought was creepier than a lot of the other horror movies.
Depends on when you saw it.
Right?
I mean, if you're in your early teens and that movie comes out, it scared the hell out of you. Even if you were a young adult at that point, Mike, you know, late teens, early 20s, that movie it stayed with a lot of people for a long time. And, man, once you find out they are building on the Indian burial ground.
Yeah. I mean, and Spielberg's the master of setting up the suspense. You know, Mommy, I can hear you, but I can't see you, Mommy.
It's great.
It was great. Yeah. I put it, and Chris gave you the choice, though, of or your own choice.
Okay.
Basically something else. And I went with, Carl and I were just talking during the commercial break, guys of a certain age. It was the scariest thing I've ever seen on regular television. It was Salem's Lot by Stephen King in 1979.
And on regular TV?
On regular TV, and it's still to this day, and I put the image up, I responded to our poll question, so it's in the replies, but it was David Soul from Starsky & Hutch, moves to his town up in New England, and he basically trying to solve the case, but the kid, his dead friend, shows up floating outside his bedroom window in the fog, and to this day, it's so freaky. And that's when the TV stopped at 13, man. Nobody had cable back then.
You wouldn't look out of your window to save your life.
I mean, again, if anybody had, you could probably find it on YouTube right now. Look at a dead kid floating on Salem's Lot. And you'll be like, ah!
Yeah,
that's my vote.
For us growing up, it was The Ring.
Oh, because
that was the one that scared, because that we were like 13, 14 when that came out. That movie scared the crap out of all of us. Some good responses coming in already. Obviously, the classic Halloween, The Entity, which is a good one. Caroline, which they're rebooting as a TV series, by the way, which is supposed to be pretty good. Friday the 13th and Amityville Horror are the suggestions coming in. So
Stranger
far.
Things has been so good with the underneath world and all that stuff. There's so many good elements to that. Can't wait till that comes back on Netflix.
It is. It's on the way, right? One more season? Right.
Yeah, one more.
Yeah.
I think they just either they just started or they just wrapped filming. I can't remember which one it is. This was a little shocking as well. I didn't think this would be a headline when I woke up today, yet here it is. SNY's Andy Martino, Aaron Boone expected back as the manager of the Yankees next season. I mean, was he ever not going to be back? He took the team to the World Series, and they've been to the ALCS three times in his tenure.
This isn't on Aaron Boone.
No.
This whole thing is on guys, again, not performing the way we expected them to in this moment. This is not on Aaron Boone. And by the way, the screw-ups last night, Mike, that's not on Aaron Boone either.
No, I thought, you know, with what he had to work with, I think the bullpen, I mean, the most dramatic thing was the Dodgers bringing Buehler in to finish the game. You know, that could have blown up in certainly in Dave Roberts' face, but I don't think you can argue with how he used his pen. You know, you had one inning where you just melted down and you blew a five-run lead.
Yeah, I mean, you have Garrett Cole on the mound in a winner,
But throwing like a one hitter at that point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but he was locked in, and then essentially he just blew up. So,
by the way,
yeah.
Candyman was scary as hell.
You see the remake, by the way?
No.
It was good.
Candyman was scary. Yeah. You got me thinking about this now. Candyman was scary. All right, go ahead. Where were we? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Aaron Boone is likely to return as the Yankees manager. But let me ask you this, because this got me thinking about a bigger picture question. Let's say Brian Snicker decided to step away tomorrow. Who would you even think of that's out there to consider? The baseball manager has just been completely neutered.
Well,
is
Walt Weiss the next man up? Walt Weiss has been there like all this time.
Yes.
I haven't talked to Walt in like years, but I guess he'd be the dude. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. It's a good question. The good news for us is we are the Braves, and this is a great job. And everybody in baseball knows it. And I would tell you this, Chris, ironically, you know, we talked to Andy and Randy in the crossover, and they're like, give me Ron Washington back. Let me tell you something. It wouldn't surprise me if you attracted somebody who has been here, that has been with Snit, that is beloved like that. I'm not saying he would obviously be the guy, but that's what I would be thinking if, in fact, we had to deal with that.
Right.
Do you view the role as a manager in baseball as still something that's important?
Yes, of course it is. I mean, my dad said this, and so I've said this all my life on the radio, is all the managers do is screw things up, basically. You can overthink things. I think Dave Roberts, and you know, we've talked about this with Tony Gwynn Jr., sometimes management makes him do the analytics stuff, and I think Snicker goes with his gut. Look, 21 was one of the greatest managing jobs. This year was one of the greatest. I don't know what Braves fans are expecting when you have bums out there and starters that can't hit.
Journeyman.
I mean, and every year Snicker's got to rotate there's never five locked-in starters, you know? So I just think Snicker's done a really decent, like, in the course of 162, you can crap on every move here and there, but I still think it matters. I think you got to have a rhythm. You set the car. You've been around more clubhouse than I have in your time with ESPN and everything. You got to have a guy who sets the tone.
You do. No, listen, they do matter. They matter more in these playoffs because the moves are amplified. How much is a good manager? This is the question that's always thrown out there in baseball. How much is a good manager give you in win totals as far as plus, right? Do you win an extra five games because of your manager in a year where you play 162 turtle? The good ones do. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And it could be 10. I don't know what that analytic
is
now.
War stat for managers?
Yeah, I don't know what that analytic is now, but we used to talk about that all the time. What a good manager, and then a bad manager, he could lose you 5 to 7 games a year just based on dumb decisions and within a game. So, yes, I do think they matter, and Mike said it. The bigger thing is the vibe in the clubhouse and managing egos. That guy has to have a handle on that. If he doesn't, he ain't going to last.
All right. I told you all about Koenig, by the way. All right, Turtle, hit Chris's music.
By the way, a lot of guys are throwing movies at us. So we'll dust off our game winner, our last call tonight, and we'll let you guys sound off on Halloween night, the movie that got you. I was just thinking.
What's that, bro?
I'm a big sci-fi. I know you and I like sci-fi. You ever seen that movie Event Horizon?
Yes, it's great and scary as hell.
Oh, that
great.
It just popped into my noggin as I was looking up like sci-fi scary flicks.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.